paid
260 euros for a pair of Crocs, man.
Those shoes pretty much broke my foot.
It's only going downhill from here.
What up, guys? This is Josh.
And this is Fobs. And this is the Kickback Pod.
Yo, Kickback Pod. We are back, episode 33. I'm back, JD, Fobs. What's good, my man?
What's up, what's up? A lot has happened in the last couple weeks, but first I want to know, JD, how you doing?
Bro, I've been kind of up and down, man, to be honest. Down, I can start off with the down first. You guys know I'm heavily into the whole crypto world, and I'm sure if anyone knows anything at all about crypto, you might have heard about what happened with that whole Terra situation. Basically, it was the fourth biggest cryptocurrency in the world at the time, and it basically failed. It went to zero, went to pennies. I ended up losing personally a lot of money, to be quite honest. So it was a lesson learned, and definitely, you know, this whole crypto thing the last couple of years has just been going up, up, up. So this was kind of like a reality check. So I definitely learned a lot from it, learned to diversify better. So that was the bad news.
I mean, my group chats with my friends back home was blowing up as well. And they were like, Terra, Luna, like, how much did you put in? Everyone was freaking out. And I was like, what did I miss? But it seems like, yeah, it wasn't a great time. But like you said, there's ups and then there's downs. And I think over a very long period of time, long term, the wins and the losses even out somewhat. And if you're somewhat decent or know what you're doing, then you should be on the up over the long term. But, you know, you have to take some L's somewhere.
Yeah, definitely. And make sure you invest only what you can afford to lose. That's what I tell all my friends and family. Don't put your life savings into this, because I saw some really, really bad horror stories on Twitter. People saying that they lost everything. They have to sell their house now. Like really, really sad stuff. So yeah, make sure you only invest what you can afford to lose. But go ahead.
No, that's the, I would say that's the rule, not just for crypto, but for any kind of investment, right? Like
yeah,
only
for sure.
Invest or put in what you can stomach to lose, because high risk obviously has high reward, but it's called high risk for a reason. So just live by those words and only play with what you can play with.
Exactly. But as far as the good news though, I have been really, really pumping iron at the gym, been going absolutely crazy. I've always been going to the gym very often, usually like 3 times a week. But over the last 2 months, I've been going 5 times a week. And I've been on a mission to increase my body weight by just adding muscle mass and adding muscle size. Mm-hmm. And basically over the last month, I've been able to add 4.5 kgs of muscle.
Damn, pure muscle?
Pure muscle, jeez, man. So like I'm looking at the mirror, I'm like, damn, son.
Bro, but then you must be posting old fit pics then.
I must be.
Because I can't tell. No. But that's cool, man. Like, I think, so you're doing kind of a clean bulk then, right? You're not doing a dirty bulk.
No. I'm not eating no junk food. I'm just eating clean. I've been taking a lot of protein shakes, a lot of nuts, you know, a lot of good healthy stuff. I feel good, I look good. That's been the goal this summer, to increase my body weight. So I've been able to do that. And yeah, man, so it's been an up and down time. What about you?
Yeah, I've been good. I was in Freiburg at my grandma's last week, chilling with a mandem
the Schwarzwald.
In the Schwarzwald, in the Black Forest of Germany. I was there for a wedding, really, really nice, had a great time, went for a few really nice hikes as well, did a little bit of work remote, which is the greatest thing that, you know, has happened in my life or in my career, I would say, because you're so flexible, you can kind of work from anywhere, depending on what kind of job and role you have. So very, very lucky to also just, you know, hang out with my grandma, eat her cake, eat cake that she baked, not eat her cake. Yeah. Let's leave that in. It's all good. She likes baking as most grandmas do, and she made a nice little apple cake and with like a rhubarb tart, which was nice. So I've been putting on the kgs, but I think it's been more in the fat department. So I need to get on that health grind as well. So if you have any like workouts or whatever, send them over to me, because I am very interested in getting that summer body at some point, hopefully by before the summer ends.
Shout out to grandma Fobbs for the apple cake. And
yeah, shout out.
And also I've been getting all my workouts from TikTok actually. Like,
oh really? Damn. Is there anything that TikTok can't do?
Dude, you know what's so crazy? Like, the search function on TikTok works just like Google. Like, if you want to know anything, you literally just search it on the TikTok and you'll find tons of videos on it. Like, I've been very impressed with how good the search engine is on TikTok. So shout out to that app. But yeah, man. The topic of today is going to be fakes. We're going to be talking about fake sneakers. This whole topic was inspired by what's been happening lately with Nike and StockX. If you guys haven't heard already, Nike basically assigned a bunch of probably their interns to go and buy a bunch of StockX sneakers, and then they found some fakes, and now they made a whole public story about it. So that kind of inspired our whole topic for today, which is we're going to get into everything you need to know about fakes. So where do people buy fakes? Why do they buy fakes? What is our opinion on fakes? We'll get into all of that. Before we begin, first want to give a shout out to the fan shout out of the week. The shout out goes this week to Jacoby Whitmire. So he is a big fan of the pod. He is actually from Atlanta. And the reason why I shout him out today was because last week we talked about that whole shooting at Ama Manier. So Jacoby actually lives right behind the store. So he actually was like firsthand witness to everything that happened afterwards. And he basically messaged me on Instagram and said that it was pretty crazy out there. There was like a million cops, his words. There was a million cops out there for basically the whole day. So it was a whole situation. And that one cop did get seriously injured, but hope everything is okay with him. And also just wanted to give a shout out to Jacoby for listening to the pod since day one. So yeah, big shout out to you, man.
Big shout out. Got to get him on the pod, get the inside scoop. Hoping that the officer who was injured is not in too critical of condition and can be back with his family soon, or their family.
Definitely.
Before we get into the big topic of today, let's get into pickups. I know you have a couple you posted online. What have you been adding to the rotation in the last couple of weeks?
It's been fairly quiet, at least by my standards, for the last couple of weeks. Before we get into the pickups, just want to give a quick shout out to Luka Doncic for absolutely destroying both of our predictions for the NBA.
Oh yeah.
We both had Bucks and Suns in the final, and both the Bucks and Suns got eliminated on the same day. So shout out to Luka and Jason Tatum also doing his thing. But especially Luka, man, because he is just cold blooded.
Like, cold as ice, man.
Dude, the fact that after each shot he smiles at the other team. He just laughs at them like, you can't stop this. Like, don't even try.
Not even that, dude. He's just like, his face, he doesn't look athletic at all. Like, if you ignore his height, right? He's like this pudgy. He could be me, you know, like a little bit like some baby fat on the cheeks, his neck. He's got a bit of a double chin, scraggly beard. That could be any white dude in his mid 20s. And this guy is almost averaging a triple double. Destroying teams, busting brackets. He's the next face of the league, whether you like it or not. He's probably going to be the best player in the NBA in the next couple of years. What a player.
Yeah, definitely, man. Just love watching the guy. But yeah, let's get back into the pickups. So first pickup was the Emilion d'Or 650s. I've been meaning to cop this pair for a while. I finally actually ended up paying resale for them because I didn't pre-order them and I didn't win any raffles for them. And I'm happy I did, man, because I actually really, really like these shoes. I did a whole review on them. And in my review, I actually talked about liking these perhaps even more than the 550s, just because I find these sneakers to be like super, super versatile. If you wear like, you know, like any kind of straight leg pants, you have the pants going over the shoes, then they pretty much look like 550s. So you kind of like have the option to make it look like a 550, or you can show that high ankle collar, give that high top look as well. And the quality is amazing. And I was able to get that gray colorway. So really, really like these. It's definitely going to be a summer go-to shoe for me. Another one that I picked up. So I finally added a pair of Yeezy 450s to my personal collection. And that was that most recently released, the Sulfur colorway. I've been meaning to add a 450 for a really long time. There just hasn't been a colorway that has spoke to me. But the Sulfur colorway is just, it's just very, very nice. I love the yellow. It kind of like gives me, it kind of just looks like scrambled eggs on your feet. that was my initial thought with this shoe. And it's just such a like weird looking shoe. And this weird looking colorway, just for me, just goes really well on the sneaker. So happy to get a pair of 450s. Also, very comfortable shoe, which was kind of surprising. And then finally, the last pickup was the Joe Fresh Goods 2002 Rs. These were basically, like, there's debate whether or not this is actually a Joe Fresh Goods collab, because apparently he did this shoe alongside Black Souls, which is a collective of creatives from New Balance. And he was basically the creative director of this project. So he worked on it together with this group. So there's like people are debating whether or not it's a real Joe Fresh Goods collab. But either way, not so impressed with this pair. I'm not a big fan of the colorway personally. And I don't like those like faded yellow hits on the sneaker. Although from a quality perspective, amazing quality on the shoe. Like the leather is buttery, buttery soft, like really nice tumble leather on it. But not my favorite, and definitely not my favorite Joe Fresh Goods collab. Not just this pair, even the 550s that came along this one. Not one of my favorite Joe Fresh Goods collabs personally. But yeah, those were my three pickups. What about you, man?
Nice. I just want to say real quick, not a huge fan of the 650s, but I know a lot of people out there are. Amadeus, obviously from Oshun, was a big fan of those. So props to you for picking those up. I know you were super hyped when I saw your Instagram story about these. The Joe Fresh Goods, yeah, I'm like you. I can live without them. I think the 550 was the better pair in that pack, but I didn't get either. My only pickup of the last couple weeks is the Bart Simpson Dunk Low, or SB Dunk Low.
Nice.
Which is a super colorful pair. I'm not sure if I'll keep them just yet because, A, I don't have them in hand. They got delivered to my brother's place whilst I was gone, and I haven't seen him yet, or I haven't seen him in Berlin. And I'm not generally someone who wears super colorful sneakers. I know I have the Joe Fresh Good 990 V3s, which are, you know, green, blue, and brown. Those are relatively colorful. So maybe I will find liking to the Bart Simpson Dunks. I just thought it was a kind of cool story because they're obviously inspired by Bart Simpson. They're not an official collaboration, but there was a Marge and a Homer Dunk as well back in the day during the Dunks' first or second heyday. I think it was the second heyday. So for those who like to collect packs, obviously getting all three would be kind of having the holy trinity of Simpsons Dunks. I just figured I want to check them out in hand. Was lucky enough to win a pair on Nike Sneakers, actually. So sneakers is not a myth. But yeah, haven't seen those in hand. So once I do, I will let you guys know whether I'm keeping them or not. And that being said, let's get into the topic of the day and start with Nike versus StockX fake sneakers. I know you had a very strong opinion about this, Josh, on your Instagram story. You spoke a lot about StockX's reputation. Why don't you walk us through kind of what happened and then give us your take on it?
Yeah, so basically, let's go back to the beginning of what this battle is all about. So StockX initially decided to, you know, enter the metaverse and basically issue these NFTs, which from what I can tell, just based on the amount of sales they've had on their platform, their sales are publicly available. There hasn't been a whole lot of activity going on these NFTs anyways, but basically this really pissed off Nike. Nike told StockX, you can't do that. You can't have NFTs for their intellectual property, according to Nike. StockX obviously like countersued them. But so this began the whole battle. And then Nike, you know, Nike being Nike, you know, they could be a little petty sometimes. So we know what they did here. They probably assigned a few people to, you know, they assembled a task force and told some people to order a bunch of sneakers from StockX and find some fakes. And that's exactly what they did. They found four pairs of fakes in total. One of them, funnily enough, was a pair of Jordan 1 High patent bread, which coincidentally or on purpose was also a NFT on StockX. So that was kind of the funny part. So they found four fakes, and obviously like StockX issued some statements saying like there's no proof that these are fakes, whatever. Which I guess, like, sure, it's probably true. I mean, does Nike know what's a fake sneaker and what isn't, you know? But either way, I think, like, the damage, especially the reputational damage, has been done. I don't know if you, have you seen this video on YouTube? I forget who this creator is, but there was this video going viral about, like, how StockX authenticates sneakers. It was like a comedy. It was just a parody video, and it was...
No, I can imagine what the video looked like, though.
Dude, it was probably the funniest sneaker video of the year. And if I find the creator, I will link him in the show notes. But damn, that was a hilarious video. You should check it out. But yeah, the reputational damage, I think, to StockX is really bad here. That story was made big news. And whether or not it was true, I believe doesn't even matter, because reputational damage has been done. There's plenty of competitors. Now, StockX did have that early mover advantage when they first came out. But now there's so many competitors. Even in Europe, we got Collect, we got Restocks. There's also GOAT is over here in the States. There's GOAT. There's even SneakerCon, I believe, does a sneaker resale now. So reputationally, it's pretty bad. And I'm not surprised. I am not surprised that StockX is selling fakes, because I once heard an interview with the then CEO of StockX. I believe his name is Josh Lubin. Correct me if I'm wrong. Luber, Josh Luber. I remember watching an interview of Josh Luber back in the day, and the interviewee asked him, so in an average day, how many sneakers does an authenticator working for StockX actually authenticate in a day? And he responded with sometimes close to 1,000 in a day. And I just like did the, I work as a data analyst. So I just did the quick math in my head that if someone is working a normal 8-hour shift at StockX and they're authenticating 1,000 sneakers a day, let's assume he does like half an hour or lunch break. If that's the case, he is spending on average 7 seconds per sneaker. And that's if he doesn't even take a moment to breathe. Okay. So I'm like, can someone really authenticate a sneaker in 7 seconds? Like, come on, let's be honest. Who's going to authenticate a sneaker in 7 seconds? If you're going to be selling your, if you're going to be buying, you're going to be spending like $900 or $800 on a pair of like super hype sneakers. How do you feel knowing that the guy just spent like 7 seconds trying to authenticate it, you know? So I'm not surprised that there's fakes on StockX. I think StockX should have been, instead of worrying about this whole metaverse thing, they should have invested more in their authentication, you know, like then this kind of thing wouldn't happen. But yeah, I'm not surprised this happened. And yeah, I'm not going to say it's the end of StockX. They're too big at this point, but definitely they're going to take a big hit from this.
I would say that I agree with you that I'm not surprised either, but I don't see it being so critical. I think the thing where I see a problem is maybe the fact that StockX guarantees 100% authenticity, right? Which we have all been naive enough to believe. But in the end, these are humans that are authenticating these shoes. There's always going to be human error. And we'll get into this later in this episode. There are some really good fakes out there. You can get fakes straight from the factories that make the same shoes for the brands, right? That's why some of these unauthorized authentics, which is what they're called, exist. So especially if these people, these authenticators, are authenticating, let's be more realistic and let's say they're authenticating 100 shoes a day, which is still a lot. That's just over a minute per shoe, right? Without taking a break. Can you authenticate a shoe in a minute? Yeah, probably. But are you going to get it right every single time, no matter how trained you are? I don't think so. And so I think StockX's biggest mistake was probably, and this goes for all platforms, right? Because there's eBay, there's, you know, who have their authenticity guarantee now. Like you said, Collect, Restocks, all these platforms, all of them guarantee authenticity. And so StockX is probably the biggest one. So it's the one that's going to be attacked the most because people don't like resale or don't like these platforms making money and basically just acting like the middleman. And, you know, that's debatable. I think there is a place in the culture and especially in the industry for services such as these. But consumers need to be aware that there's no 100% guarantee ever in life in anything, right? Apart from taxes and death, right? So don't believe these 100% authenticity guarantees when you see them. Don't fall for it. Sure, StockX shouldn't have advertised it, and maybe they'll change their language moving forward. Do I think it's a huge deal? Like, sure, it's a big deal because it's all over the internet, it's all over social media. I'm still going to buy and sell on StockX, right? I assume most of the people are still going to sell on stock or buy on StockX. So I think there's a certain level of trust that has been hit where people are going to be okay with that 1% chance that you're going to get fakes. You have to think, okay, depends on how many shoes Nike even bought, right? And then let's say they bought 4,000. Then 4 is, what is that, 0.1%, right? If my math is correct there. So it's all relative. I think we need more context to this story. I'm not trying to like protect StockX here or anything. I just think that we need to put our pitchforks down a little bit. I know social media loves drama, loves kind of these conspiracies, but I don't think StockX is willingly, knowingly authenticating fake sneakers. I think it's just human error, and there's so many sneakers going in and out of StockX everywhere. They have authentication centers all over the world. It's just a matter of time before some of these people get fooled, and I think it's just a cost of doing business. And I think there it's important then that StockX is less stringent with its refund policies, because I know that some people have bought shoes and felt that they were fake when they arrived and then asked for their money back. And StockX customer service maybe hasn't been the greatest from what I've read online in forums. Again, I haven't had any personal situations like this, but I've read them. I've seen them online. Whether people are telling the truth or not, I don't know. I think as long as StockX and the consumer realizes, okay, there's going to be a slight room for error, there's going to be human error, and how do we work around that to make it as guaranteed as possible? And if something happens, how do we make sure everyone leaves somewhat happy? Then I think it's okay. And then that business model can go on. But I don't know. What do you think?
I personally think it's a bit risky to be buying especially like expensive pairs on StockX or even other reselling platforms for that matter. And I personally do not, like, I have like a threshold. Like, I do buy sometimes from these platforms, but it's like, okay, if the sneaker is under 500, under maybe even under 400, it's fine. But if I'm going to be like paying a lot of resale for something, I prefer not to buy from these places, because I think the more expensive the sneaker is, the more incentive there is for fakes to be made for that shoe. And the much higher my chances are of getting a fake. Like, for example, there's no way I would buy a pair of Travis Scott Jordan 1s from StockX. And I think that's just like, you're playing with fire there. There's very high likelihood you're going to get a fake. So
yeah.
So I think it's cool for cheaper sneakers, more expensive stuff. I would personally stay away from the reselling platforms. I like to just buy most of my most sneakers I pay resale for. I'll usually buy from local sellers. I'll always ask for a receipt. I need to see the receipt with it. And of course, like I'll have a look at the shoe myself and just kind of make a judgment whether or not it's real or not. But usually if I get like a in-store receipt, that's usually like a good sign for me that it's real. But other than that though, like my personal opinion is not to buy expensive stuff from these websites.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think, like you said, not just expensive stuff, but certain types of sneakers are going to be more likely to be faked, right?
True.
Which, yeah, I mean, go ahead. You want to say something?
No, I was going to say, like, I don't understand why all these sneaker brands just don't put an end to this debate and this nonsense. Like, why don't they come up with some solution that anyone can check whether or not a sneaker is fake or not? Why doesn't every single pair have a distinct QR code that someone can just go and check the QR code to make sure that it's an authentic pair? Each pair has a unique code. Each pair has, so like any consumer can buy their pair, check the code, make sure that it's an authentic pair. Like why haven't these brands implemented something like that by now? Is something that I would like an answer to, because I'm sure they have the capabilities to do that. But
they should use the blockchain.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I hope to see happen. Like every sneaker has a QR code that is on chain that you can verify, which is what I think we've talked about this several episodes ago about how that's going to be the future of sneaker authentication. But yeah, I mean, let's kind of, I think we spent enough time on this subtopic. Let's get into the main topic, which is fake sneakers themselves. So is it cool to wear fakes? What do you think? Like, so first of all, before we even get into that question, right, should we maybe talk about like what are the different types of fakes that exist out there? Should we talk about first like why do fake sneakers exist in the first place?
Exactly. I think we should start with why fake sneakers exist in the first place. And so I've put some thought into this, and I'll let you know why I think sneakers are faked or replicas, knockoffs, bootlegs, whatever exists, and then you can let me know how on point they are. I think they're very on point. So I think there's one reason, which is that a lot of sportswear brands produce their sneakers in countries in Asia, mostly Southeast Asia, Vietnam, Thailand, but also in other countries. A lot of them in Vietnam, but you have some in China. Then obviously textiles and stuff are produced in Bangladesh and Pakistan. And these countries don't place much value on copyright or trademarks, right? And so it's already hard enough to wage legal battles at home. How are you going to wage legal battles in foreign countries where the authorities and the government doesn't really care if people are ripping your brand off, right? You're using the cheap labor there. So yeah, that's a benefit that the brand is getting, but they're not going to get all the protections they would get if they were producing in countries such as, you know, Italy or Portugal or the US. But even there, patents are stolen, things can be faked. And the factories in these countries, in Vietnam, Thailand, China, they can make a decent buck, or the people working there, by producing more or taking the designs and producing them elsewhere to then sell on the black market. So I think that's like one reason fake sneakers exist, because they're produced in countries that don't place much value on copyright and trademark. Then, and this is an obvious one, sneakers have become a status symbol, right? And every status symbol in the world has been faked. It's been reproduced illegally. You even have fake sports cars. When I was growing up in Thailand, there was a story about a guy who was putting Toyota engines underneath a carbon fiber hood that looked like a Lamborghini. He was making the hood himself, so it looked exactly like a Lamborghini, but it wasn't. It was running a Toyota Civic motor, which is ridiculous, right? So you have this thing cruising around the streets, but it's got what, like 75 horsepower, and doesn't sound like the real thing at all. And I think if owning or wearing something communicates something specific, whether it's status or wealth or connections or being part of a special society, you better believe fake versions of these are going to exist, because people want to communicate these things and feel a part of a group without having the means to actually do that, right? So it's a shortcut. And then, obviously, another reason is that sneakers are super expensive and worth a lot of money. People like to make a quick buck, and it's easier to buy and sell cheap fake sneakers that are cheap and pass them off as the real thing than to actually enter raffles, have 50 phones so you can have 50 sneakers entries, to hopefully get the real thing once or twice and then sell them for a profit. So that's another reason why fake sneakers exist. And then, obviously, there's a market for them. Some people are not lucky enough or privileged enough to be able to afford expensive sneakers. And $100 sneakers to us might seem cheap, right? Because the collaborations nowadays cost $200, $250, $300. But $100 is a lot in a lot of places, right? And to a lot of people. And so there's a market of people who want what everyone else has but can't afford it. And so the fake sneaker market kind of caters to that person as well. So those are like the four major reasons why I think fake sneakers exist.
So definitely like your points. So I definitely agree with your last three points. So definitely sneakers are status symbols and they are super expensive. And there's a lot of people who can't afford them. True. All three of them are right. Anything that's very expensive, it's going to be faked. It's going to be duplicated just to make profit from those who can't afford it. Yeah, totally agree there. But about the first point that you made, which is that so a lot of these countries don't have copyrights or trademarks. So the factories themselves, in order to make a little bit extra money, they're creating more quantities of these sneakers and then selling them on the black market. I find a little questionable, because from what I understand, there's hundreds and hundreds of factories in these countries. So if a particular factory has a contract agreement with Nike, and why would they risk doing something like that? Because if Nike were to find out, wouldn't Nike just be really pissed and take their business to a different factory? And because there's apparently hundreds of factories available in these countries. So why would they want to risk their business agreement with Nike just to make a few extra dollars? And also second follow-up question to that is, if Nike knows for sure that a factory is producing extras and selling them on the black market, are they even doing anything about it? Are they actually, putting their foot down and saying, hey, if you don't stop, we're going to take our business elsewhere? Or is it just a little tap on the wrist, hey, you should probably stop doing that, what do you think is going on there?
I think it's a good point. I mean, so that first point is a lot from what I've read on Reddit, right? And people in forums talking about how there's factories. Obviously, I've never visited a factory myself. I know that a lot of these factories are very, very professional. The people that work there obviously value their jobs and don't want to lose them, right? I'm not suggesting that they're putting all of that on the line, but I think just the fact that there are so many factories, there are lax copyright rules or just lax rules and laws in general, right? And lax policing of the laws. There's a reason a lot of fakes come out of China, Russia, Southeast Asia, right? Because it's these places where it's possible to produce these. Maybe, I don't know, obviously this is all a theory, but what's stopping one factory from grabbing a real pair of Nike Air Force Ones, checking out how they're put together, and then doing that themselves in their own factory, you know what I mean? So I guess my point wasn't really that specific factories are doing this, but rather the location that these factories are in and where these patents and copyrights and designs and production processes and machinery lie, and that area being very lax with the policing of rules and laws and regulations is probably why a lot of fakes exist, because these different factors lead to it being easier in those places than maybe in others to create fake shoes.
Yeah, okay. And that makes sense. It could be that a factory takes one of the real pairs and they have like a side factory, you know, where they're making all the extra duplicates that they're selling to the black market without, so basically going undetected from Nike. They could be doing that, but we're obviously just coming up with like theories at this point. But yeah, I think like definitely overall, you brought up some pretty good points about why fake sneakers exist. Now, like, let's move on to the next topic, which is we talked about it a little bit already, but why do people buy fake sneakers?
Yeah, I mean, it's similar to, like you said, above, right? I think the main reasons, and I'm sure you agree with me here, is to convey a certain message or to belong to a certain group without actually having to pay the price or put in the work to be a legitimate part of that group, right? Wearing a fake Rolex because you like the message it sends. Buying a pair of Nike Air Diors because you want to have that shoe because it's so exclusive, because of the story behind it, the fact that there's only however many thousand in the world, but you can't actually pay 8, 9, 10,000 euros for a pair. So I think that's one major reason, right? To convey a certain status. Then a second reason is to flex and fool others. People want to pretend like they have the real thing, don't admit that it's fake, which in my opinion, and we'll get to this later, is slightly questionable. And then of course, the last point that we discussed previously about some people just can't afford to spend $60, $70, $80, $100, $150, $200 or euros on a pair of sneakers every year. And so the fake knockoff bootleg alternative that looks a little bit like the real thing, or maybe exactly like the real thing, but costs a fraction of the price. Yeah, of course they're going to go for that, because at the end of the day, these are just shoes, right? They're meant to be used. They're meant to be worn. They're meant to be worn down. And some people might say, why the hell would I pay $500 for a pair of shoes when I can get the same exact design, maybe not real, for $100?
Yeah. All right. No, I get that. But like, let's talk about our opinions on that. Right. So what you just said, which is there's a sneaker selling for $600 on the resale market. Why would I spend that when I can get almost an identical pair for less than $100? Right. I get that. I personally don't have a problem with that. If someone wants to do that, fine, totally fine. Where I do kind of have a problem is if this person is telling everyone that they're real, you know, that's, to me, that's really corny. You shouldn't be telling someone that your sneakers are real, because I mean, first of all, like, how do you even live with that? You know, like, that's just like, you're just lying. You know, at that point, you're just, and like, you would have to keep up that lie. Every time someone asks you if those are real, you would have to like keep up that lie forever, pretty much. If someone, actually, that's a good question. So if you're wearing fakes, right, and someone were to ask you, are those real or are those fake? It's like you're not going to actually go around telling people, hey, by the way, these are fake. You know, it's like you wait for someone, like if someone even were to ask you that question, because let's be honest, most people are not going to be able to tell a fake from a real. First of all, most people aren't even looking at you, you know, like people are too busy minding their own business. And if someone were to look at you, notice your shoes, most people are still not going to tell that they're fake. The few people who might think that they're fake might ask you, hey, are those real or fake? Yeah, it's like you can either lie and continue lying about it forever, or you just say, yeah, you just own it and just say like these are real, because these are fake, because that's kind of what I would like people to admit to if they're going to be buying fakes, just not flexing on everyone like they're real. Like, that's, to me, that's corny as hell. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
I think your point as well, like, even if someone was able to tell whether they're real or not, who cares in the end? You know, like, there's not enough people that care so much that they're going to go out of their way to legit check your shoes whilst you're walking past them or you're standing
in the party, dude, or whatever.
Right? And then even if they did that, even less are going to approach you and even ask you about them, right? Maybe it comes up in conversation where someone's like, who doesn't know what they are, is like, oh, those are cool shoes, man. Like, where'd you get them? And then you're like, ah, yeah, they're actually like a knockoff of the Union Jordan 4s, because I really like the design, but I don't have 700 euros to spend on them, so I figured I would get like a knockoff because I really like the colors or something like that, right? Whatever. I think we're pretty aligned here where as long as you're not, you don't even have to be open, you don't have to advertise that you have fake shoes, right? But as long as you're buying them not to pretend like you have something super expensive and exclusive and tell everyone that they're real, then I don't care whether you buy fake sneakers or wear fake sneakers. I think that there's a lot of people who are drawn to a certain design because of something, whether it's the colors, the material, the actual profile and cut of the shoe, or maybe in the case of the Air Jordan 1s, right, which is the OG, OG, OG. So maybe somebody really, really likes the fact that they're connected to Michael Jordan and his greatness, and they love the legend around it, but they either can't afford to buy a Chicago pair because, and they really want a Chicago, or they don't know how or don't have the means to for whatever reason, but they want to feel connected to that culture and that feeling and that what the shoe kind of stands for. And then I see no problem at all with buying fakes because it's less about flexing and pretending like you have the real thing and more about feeling part of a tribe and feeling included in something. And of course, I would say it's probably better to educate yourself on it. Maybe find an alternative. Get a Chicago mid or a low because those are cheaper, right? Than straight away getting fakes. But I think there's noble reasons for buying fakes sometimes. But I think everyone would agree with us. Everyone listening, all of our friends, everyone we know would say if you're buying something to then lie about whether it's real or not, then that's obviously not kosher.
No, that's lame. But I also think it's pretty lame, like you said, like who would actually approach someone like on the street, like in public, and like call you out, you know?
Yeah.
Like, bro,
like live and,
those
live
are
and,
fake.
Live and let live, right? Like if you see someone, maybe, I mean, if you're on the U-Bahn, like I've done it before, I've snapped a cheeky picture of somebody super duper fake Yeezy 350s, right? Like,
oh, I do that all the time.
We've all been there, but like, don't like go up to the dude or the person or whatever, and don't like try and, you know, one up them by letting them know, or, you know, chances are they probably know themselves and they don't give a fuck and they won't care if you tell them either. It's nice to have a little chuckle about it. You know, there's some 350s that are just like, they've got like Off-White, Yeezy, Air Max, whatever. Like, those are funny to kind of look at, have a chuckle about. And like, I take a photo to be like, these are the fakest I've ever seen, right? But same as when I go to the markets in Thailand and I'm looking at shoes, I take photos of them, not because I want to make fun of whoever's selling them or buying them, but just because I think it's absurd sometimes the types of designs these fake sneaker makers, whoever they are, come up with. But you're right. I mean, it's probably more corny to approach someone and call someone out on fake sneakers than it is to buy fake sneakers, in my opinion.
Oh, definitely. If you're going to do that, you better bring that energy to like all parts of your life, you know? Like if you're like if you're at a club and you're too afraid to, you know, go approach the hot girl, then you better not be approaching guys in public and calling them out for fake sneakers. You can't do that. You better bring that energy everywhere, man.
Well, you need to be bringing that energy when you're in the boardroom and you spy a Rolex or Patek Philippe. You need to be like, "Yo, I know you bought that in Thailand." Yeah. Or, "Yo."
Exactly.
You know, you need to be legit checking everything.
but like you were talking about like those super fake looking Yeezy Off-White sneakers, right? So that's like one type of fake sneaker. So let's get into that topic. Like, what are the different kinds of fakes out there? Because that's a pretty interesting and funny topic. So you mentioned one type, which is like,
yeah,
the super duper extreme fake sneaker. And I love seeing these because every time I see one of these, I snap a picture and put it on Instagram because I find them hilarious. Like, you know, like the Yeezy 350 that says like Virgil was here or some shit on it, you know?
Yeah.
Like some extremely fake, or like the Yeezy 350 with the Supreme on the stripe, you know? Yeah, those super duper fake ones. Those are just hilarious. And I mean, like, I hope those never die out because they always like make me laugh, you know? So,
no, those are definitely like seeing a shiny Pokemon in the wild, you know, like, yeah, they're always funny to look at, and they kind of always one up each other. They kind of, whatever's hot at the moment, they'll throw in there. You know, it's a Stone Island Virgil Abloh Jacquemus Puma shoe, for example, or a Kanye West ASAP Rocky Lil Wayne Osiris, whatever. So that's one type, like you said. Then I think there's the fake sneaker of a hyped shoe that's obviously fake because the colors, the material, the design is slightly off. So probably cheaper, lower quality fakes. Then you've got the fake sneaker of a hyped shoe that is hard to tell apart, which, like I said, are these unauthorized authentics, or UA, as Reddit calls them. These are
there's like a whole subculture about this on Reddit.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yes. For anyone who wants to check it out, I think it's called Rep, R-E-P.
Oh, no. Okay, no, I want to talk about that, man. I personally, I cannot stand this Rep community, man. I'm just going to say this right now, because you guys remixed the word fake, started calling it reps, and now you feel like you're better than the people who wear fakes. All right, like let's put that out there. I feel like these Rep guys, they feel like they got some kind of swag because they rock reps. Like, bro, they're still fakes.
Last year there was a trend on TikTok where people, and Reels as well, or it was mostly TikToks that were posted on Instagram, but it was mostly people who were like young, kind of Zoomers, you know, TikTok generation, Gen Z, whatever, who were saying, oh, you know, like, I don't wear real sneakers, I buy my fake sneakers because why would I spend money, blah, blah, blah. And they sold it as like being super woke. And I know I'm going to feel like old man yells at cloud, like I'm going to sound like old man yells at cloud, but they were selling it as like, oh, I'm better than consumerism, I'm better than capitalism. And Rep sneakers, maybe they still are, I don't spend enough time on TikTok to be honest, but they were definitely trending for a few months, or at least half a year last year. And I find it really hilarious that this is the generation that's all about the environment and everything. And then you've got them kind of wearing fake knockoff shoes that are probably being produced in conditions worse than, you know, what the sportswear brands are producing them in, you know, maybe child labor, whatever. And you're buying them proudly and pretending you're super woke. I think that's pretty whack. But these people, they fall into the crowd where, like, yes, they're open about buying fake sneakers, but they're there to, I don't know. It just seems so weird. Like, why don't you put that energy into buying the real thing? And then sure, you might not have 100 shoes. You might only have 20 or 25 because it's harder to get the real ones or more expensive, but I don't know. It just seems weird.
Nah, dude. For me, this whole Rep community that tries to flex on everyone that they wear reps. Like, for me, this is like the lamest sneaker community out there, man. I'm sorry to tell you guys this, but that's just my opinion, man. So, of course we got these, like, we're going through like the different types of fakes out there. Yeah. We have these quote unquote, super, hard to tell type of sneakers, or reps as they call them. And then there's also like the, you know, obvious knockoffs, right? So, for example, Zara, they've been making these like fake looking Yeezy 700s, like the Wave Runners. It was even like the same colorway as the Wave Runners. We've seen like Steve Madden make like a knockoff Off-White Jordan 1, even in the Chicago colorway. These are like obvious knockoffs. So, these, personally, I don't have a problem with people wearing these because I think it is targeted at a specific type of individual. If there's someone out there, you know, you work a 9-to-5 job, you're way too busy to keep up with sneaker drops and drop dates and entering raffles and all that. You just like sneakers. You like particular sneakers. You like the way they look. You missed out on the release. And you just want a sneaker that kind of looks like that. I'm cool with buying the knockoffs. And I would say, especially when it comes to like the more designer stuff, like the Balenciaga boots, you know, those Prada boots with that kind of look like claws at the bottom. I've seen like Zara make knockoffs of that. Like, yeah, if you don't want to, I kind of get that, because it's not like you're going to be buying those shoes and telling everyone like, yo, look at these Jordans I'm rocking, or look at these Pradas I'm rocking. Like, everyone, you yourself know you're wearing Zara's. You're going to tell everyone you're wearing Zara. You're not gonna fake that you're wearing, you know, some high-end designer stuff. So I'm kind of cool with that because it's fast fashion for a reason. And it's for people who just don't have the time to keep up with everything. They just want something quick. And I'm cool with this. What do you think about the knockoffs?
I think so too. I think they're not really fakes so much as homages, but like cheaply done and kind of a little bit cheeky. And you're right. It's targeted at people who like Air Force Ones but don't know what Air Force Ones are, for example, or like the Air Jordan One but don't know why they like the Air Jordan One, so they just buy whatever looks like the Air Jordan One. And
I mean, Nike kind of does this themselves, right? Like they like, for example, like the Nike Sakai waffle LDV waffles. I mean, Nike then made like the Waffle Ones, which were like a blatant knockoff of the Sakais, and sold them, and they were quite popular. And now Nike is doing the Air Max 90, the Terrascapes, which are like a very obvious knockoff of the Off-White Air Max 90s, and people are buying them. They're selling like crazy. So, I mean, but like I said, people buying those Terrascape 90s aren't going to be saying, hey, these are the Off-White 90s, you know what exactly. I mean? So it's totally fine for me. Like it's targeted at a certain, at like the more general consumer. So that's cool. There's one more group that we haven't really talked about, and that is the bootlegs, right? So there's Fugazi is one of them. There's plenty of them, like Wandy, I forget his name, Wandy something, the guy who made like the
Vandy the Pink.
Vandy the Pink, yeah, the guy who made like the French fry dunks. Then there's like the knockoff Freddy Krueger dunks, I think he also made. Like these kind of sneakers. So the obvious, you clearly can tell what the silhouette is. Also, there's a brand based out of Hamburg, Der Schutzte, who also made like their own Air Jordan ones, which I thought were hella dope, by the way. These obvious bootlegs, what's your opinion on those?
Yeah, I wouldn't even class these as fake, to be honest. I think they're bootlegs, and bootleg culture is a world of its own, really. For me, they're more homages to the real thing, and it comes from people being creative back in the day, not being able to afford what they want, and so they're making their own versions of it, right? Or thinking, hey, the Air Force One will look so much cooler if we turn the swoosh into a skull, or a shooting star, and then the Bape is born, right? The Bape stuff. So I think those I would not class as a fake or as a knockoff similar to the Zara, or like, sometimes you have brands like Skechers or Kappa who make these kind of lifestyle running shoes that look like the Nike Free Run, for example, or they look like an Ultra Boost, but they're not. And I would say those go more in the fake direction. And then the actual bootlegs made by independent creatives, I'm not mad at them. Like you said, some of them are pretty sick. They bring something different and fresh to the game most of the time. I mean, sometimes they can be very repetitive. How many times are you going to remix an Air Jordan 1 or an Air Force 1 and switch the swoosh out for something else? I get it. But that's creativity. That's, you know, independent flair and part of the culture, in my opinion. So I wouldn't even consider those fake.
It's funny how Nike seems to care a lot more about these bootleggers and these independent creatives because they seem to be always suing them. They seem to be caring more about their brand reputation being harmed by these bootlegs rather than by the millions of fakes and reps out there. So it's funny, man. That's one thing I find funny about the behavior of some of these corporations.
Yeah. I think that has to do with, if you don't fight for your trademark and protect it, then it can get taken away. And the obviously fake sneakers, like I said, most of them come from countries where Nike can't really sue. All they can do is hope that the customs police or the whatever, FBI, whoever, CIA, grabs those at customs and confiscates them, basically. So, and of course, they can go against these people in other countries, but it's super hard to do that and super expensive. I think the bootleggers that they're trying to take down, it's more about how much are you going to let people play with your copyrighted product and change it, right? And if you let them do that for too long, then there's this legal term, which I forget, but it basically means that you lose your trademark because you didn't protect it enough. And so most of the time, I don't think it's anything personal. I think it's just that they're really trying to protect their trademark and avoid losing the Air Force One altogether, for example. And then, you know, if they do that, then sure, they can keep producing them, but then so can everyone else. And they can produce one of one copies and it wouldn't be considered a fake. So I think that's kind of why they've been so protective over the last few years. But I do agree that it stifles individual creativity sometimes. So it's sad to see, especially with Nike having so much money and these creators obviously not having as much money as Nike. Sometimes it's a David versus Goliath situation. But I mean, so be it. I think that's just kind of the world business. What I want to hear from you, though, is I think we're almost at the end, but what sneaker do you think is faked the most out of all sneaker models? Doesn't have to be a specific colorway, just like a model.
Model? I mean, you would have to say, okay, a few years ago, I would have said the 350s, but 350s aren't that popular anymore. So I don't see that many fakes being made because it's very easy to get a 350 for retail nowadays. So that kind of kills the incentive for people to keep making fakes of them. So I would say right now, probably the Jordan 1. The Jordan 1, especially like pretty like nice colorways that everybody wants. Like, for example, the Mocha ones, colorway that everyone loves and one of the most faked sneakers, I think, out there right now. Like, I see tons of reps for them. And also, like, for example, those, obviously, the Travis Scott Jordan ones and the highs and the lows. So many reps of those. The Fragment ones. Pretty much, I would say right now, I would even say, like, the Travis Scott collabs seems to be the ones that are being faked the most.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe in like the smaller community, probably that's true, right? I think most of the people trying to pass expensive, like if you went for like an expensive hype sneaker, yes, it'd probably be like a Travis One. But I think in general, just looking in Berlin, for example, and other cities in Germany, I'm talking about like the really bad fake 350s. Like, I see those everywhere. And I know that some of them are so far from the original design that it's like, is it even a fake of that sneaker, or is it a totally different shoe at this point? Because there's so many different variations with different soles. But I think there's so many shoes that take inspiration from that design that for me, it would have to be the Yeezy Boost 350, just because I think Kanye started this huge wave and you find all sorts of fake versions of that, from the super, super obvious ones to less obvious ones. Yeah, I would say the 350 for me.
To ask like a follow-up question to that, what would you say are the sneaker models that are safest out there? The least amount of fakes out there, basically.
Whew. Probably something super obscure that nobody really wants or cares about, like the... I don't know. I doubt you're going to find a lot of, although I was going to say like Nike Prestos, but you're probably going to find some fake Prestos.
Fake off-white Prestos for sure.
Yeah, for sure. True. But I'm thinking more like a general release shoe. Like, I don't know. Are you going to find a lot of fake New Balance 574s? I don't know.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think in general, New Balance sneakers are kind of safe from the whole faking, because to go back to an earlier point of yours, the production, right, the countries where these shoes are being produced, a lot of New Balance stuff gets produced in the States, gets produced in the UK. They do have some sneakers being produced in Vietnam right now, like the 2002s. But because some of their signature sneakers, like the 990s and all that, are being produced stateside in the UK, I think there's much less chance of fakes being created. And also, we know the quality standards of the New Balance is just, you know, the very best of materials. I don't even know if it's worth it for the fake makers out there to be even making fakes of these, because where are you going to get these nice materials from? It's probably going to cost them quite a lot of money and might not even be worth it. So I think in general, New Balance is probably like your safest bet for whether or not you're going to be getting a fake pair. Maybe not so much the 550s, because it's like all leather, but I'm talking like the 990s, 574s, like you said. I think they're generally pretty safe. But
yeah,
let's should we move into like the upcoming drops to end off the episode?
Yeah. I was going to say, speaking of New Balance, there's quite a lot of New Balance heat dropping soon.
Yeah, starting off with the Joe Fresh Goods New Balance, I suppose, the 9060s. And I'm going to be honest, I've actually never heard of this silhouette. Is it a new silhouette?
Yeah, it's a remix of the 990 and the, I want to say like 860 or something. It's one of those like hybrid models. I forget which two exactly, but it's like a 990 mixed with something else. And you can see, I mean, the sole is very, very different. The upper reminds strongly of the 900 series. It's a great shoe, in my opinion. I don't know whether you like them or not. There's two colorways coming. And from the moment I saw them on Joe Fresh Goods, I knew that I probably had to get a pair.
Yeah, it kind of looks like this. I said this on my Insta. It kind of looks like a Yeezy 500 and a New Balance had a baby. Yeah. That's kind of what it looks like. And weirdly enough, though, the more and more pictures I see of this shoe, the less and less I like them. I don't know why. Like, there's something about the shoe that is just aesthetically, I don't know, I just don't like it. Like, maybe I'm not a huge fan of like the outsole, the midsole, basically. And also this colorway, it's a bit too pinkish for me. So I'm personally not really feeling this collab. I feel like, I don't know, I didn't really like this collab and neither his previous collab, Joe Fresh Goods. So as far as collabs go, I much prefer some of his older stuff. But yeah, that's one New Balance pair. A second New Balance pair dropping. It has already dropped on the Jound website, but we will be seeing a newbalance.com release on May the 18th. That is for the Jound 990 V3, the brown colorway. As with every other New Balance release on their website, pretty much you have no chance of copying it because they have by far the stupidest release method. Like, I just don't get their release method, which is like you have to like join a queue and people just create like a million tabs. So each person probably has like, especially the bot users, they probably have like 200 tabs open. So every time you try joining the queue, you're probably number 300,000 in line and you have no chance of getting this pair. So I just really think they need to change that whole release system because it's just not very consumer friendly. But that's releasing anyways, Jound 990s on May the 18th. Some other pairs, it just got announced that the Jacquemus and Nike collab, which two brands I never expected to collab, but they will be collabing. It's going to be releasing on May the 28th. And the clothes from this collection look fire, but the shoes in particular are the Nike Humeras. Which is an odd choice, I believe, because it's a trail running sneaker from the 90s. And personally, I don't really think of too many outdoorsy type of things when I think of Jacquemus. Like, they're more like a, I just think of them as like a high-end luxury brand that makes those little handbags. Yeah. So is the choice of sneaker model was a bit weird for me. But, and I don't know if you saw the shoe themselves, but I don't know, bit of a pass for me. Not such a special shoe.
No, I'm not a fan. I mean, they're very old school. To be honest with you, though, like, knowing the brand, they are very Jacquemus. Like, they've always been about the outdoors, kind of more hiking. Not maybe the clothing necessarily, but a lot of his designs have landscapes painted on them. So it, and I think Nike is also trying to push that kind of old school OG ACG, that heritage style. It's on brand, but is it going to be on point with a lot of sneakerheads? I don't think so.
Right. Moving on, we have the second round of colorways from Salehe Bembury on his Crocs. And that for me is like, I need to cop these. I know it's just a pair of Crocs, but I really, really need to cop these for my must cop of the month. Three colorways will be dropping on May the 24th, so look out for those. And then we also have the Jordan 4 in the military black colorway, which should be releasing this weekend, the 21st of March. May. Wow, it's already May. The 21st of May, we're going to be seeing the military black. It's a clean colorway, but why don't they just retro the blues? I don't know why don't they just give us the military blues? We're all dying for it, myself included. This black one is just a bit unnecessary for me. It's a clean colorway though.
It's clean, you're right. I think military blue is obviously what everyone wanted, but Nike plays by its own rules. Maybe we'll see a military blue the next time that there's an anniversary or something like that.
Yeah. And yeah, I think that was it, right?
Oh, there's a Nike Air Kukini dropping as well, at least in Europe, dropping on the 26th of May. That is a very spicy pair. It's got a slip-on design with this kind of rubber, almost webbed design across the forefoot and a leopard or cheetah print upper. It's one of the kind of 90s sneakers that many 90s fans have been calling for a rerun for. And the Air Kukini was actually part of the Stussy Nike collab a couple of years back as well. I think it was 2020, which was also a super nice shoe, dropped in a couple of cleaner colorways, I would say. This is a lot louder. I'm assuming that this is probably the first of many colorways to come. If you like eclectic different shoes, then these are probably for you.
Right, right. So, yeah, I think that's about it. We might have missed some, but it's been a... Wow, this has been a long episode, man. We're at 1 hour and 6 minutes. So shout out to everyone that has stayed throughout the entire episode. You guys are amazing. Thanks for all the feedback. Thanks for all of the support on the pod. I'm signing out. I will be actually in the next couple of weeks doing quite a bit of traveling. I'm going to Portugal and Spain over the next week. So definitely looking out, looking forward to that. I've never been to Lisbon or Madrid, so it's first time for both. I'm looking forward to that. You got anything planned over the next couple of weeks?
No, not really. Just chilling, working on my fitness. Going to try and get as fit as you in the next couple of weeks. That's probably going to be my main goal. Now, other than that, like, looking forward to getting this episode live, but obviously by the time you are hearing this, it will already be live. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Who knew you could speak for over an hour about fake sneakers? I guess knockoffs just get Josh and I going. That was it for another episode. Peace.
All right, guys. Peace.